Good morning, Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Number 2024-50, a resolution of the City Council of Pensacola, Florida, providing for use of city staff as clerk to traffic infraction detector special magistrates in accordance with Florida statutes in the City of Pensacola, Florida.
Now, don't get too worked up just yet. This is merely a procedural change to align the city's program for red light cameras, which is coming in the future, near term, not far away, with the new requirements by the Florida state statute that were passed, making it a little bit more rigorous last year, or this year, I guess, last session. And so there was just, you know, that's all this is. This is really formality type stuff. But as the mayor explained, we're not quite there yet for the red light cameras.
I know the next question, which is what's next for red light cameras, we've had a little delay on two fronts. We're waiting on some state level permitting, as well as some technology complexities at a couple of those intersections. So this passing is not starting it tomorrow or next week. Certainly we're going to sequence that as it comes, but the goal was by this month, way back when, probably be a little bit more of a delay and get you more information. But this is obviously a step in that direction.
So we had thought that it would pretty much be in place by now, but that's been delayed and delayed with parts and software and whatever other things. And then, of course, making sure that we're in compliance with the new law passed by the legislature. So soon, you know, ish, soon or something like that. 812 here on News Radio Pensacola. I couldn't get a hold of Julio today, so didn't get to hear from him about the awesomeness level of the Deadpool Wolverine movie, which I'm assuming is high, but didn't get a chance to connect with him today. So that's why we don't have him on at the moment. I am surprised that Southwest is moving away from the unassigned seats. The cattle call is part of the charm for Southwest. That's I've been flying Southwest for forever. I mean, I've flown other airlines as well, but I don't fly a lot. Okay. So I mean, in fact, the flight to Milwaukee was like the first time I'd been on a plane other than D.C. in 10 years. I mean, I've flown twice in 10 years I've been here. And it's funny, I was talking to my boss, Dave, who's kind of orchestrating this. He's like, really? You know, because he flies all the time. And I'm like, I used to fly as a kid. I flew some as an adult. And I just haven't needed much to fly since. We've got, you know, three kids and we minivan everywhere we go. But yeah, and so to me, that was always just kind of part of Southwest's identity. For 50 years they've been doing it that way. And they're moving now to not just the assigned seats, but also, like, you can pay extra to have extra legroom. They're going to reconfigure the floor plan of the planes to allow some extra legroom seats. Is that right, John? Is that how you understand it?
They're going to reconfigure the cabin. So
yeah.
Take out some seats, but then
modular seat assignments, I guess, or something.
It's going to be interesting because, again, like you said, the cattle call, oh, I'm A1 through 30.
Yeah.
You know,
and then you go line in front of your plate. And I remember when it didn't even have that. And of course, the extraordinarily standard Southwest flight attendant comment is, all right, you got to take your bag out of that middle seat because you can't keep people from sitting in the middle seat because it's always the middle seat where nobody wants to sit.
Right.
You know, so I guess that's going to go away or something. I mean, I don't know. Are they going to have like a seat assigned portion of the plane and a non-seat assigned portion? I would think probably not.
No.
I mean, it'll just work.
Like a conventional airline.
Yeah. I mean, it just works.
Then they're going to break you up into boarding groups,
right,
again, and you know, just like everybody
from
else.
From the back to the front. That's always the basic problem with the way Southwest does it is because it winds up running the opposite of how most planes do it, right?
Right.
Typically, you board from the back forward, obviously, because then you're not inconveniencing people who are having to go past you. Whereas when you fly Southwest, everybody gets the front seats, and then they have to go past and then do the, you know, put your baggage up, whatever. So there's an efficiency involved, I'm sure, is the reason they're doing it. I mean, maybe they're doing it because people complain, but I would think the people who would complain just wouldn't fly Southwest. So I'm assuming this is all about efficiency, but, you know, we'll find out eventually, I suppose. 437-1620-814 here on News Radio Pensacola. Hey, coming up on the wrap, we're going to have a very interesting conversation. You've got Jewel Canada Wynn, former city councilwoman, who ran for mayor unsuccessfully, but is actually a voting delegate to the DNC, okay? And We're going to have a good friend, Jeremy, who's going to be here, Jeremy Evans, who's going to be here. And he is a previous voting delegate for the RNC and the former, chairman or president, I forget which title, for the Florida Republican Party here in Escambia County. So we ought to have a very interesting conversation about the shifts in the party, the nomination of Kamala Harris, the platform adoption, which was really, for the Republicans, was really rammed down the throats of Republican delegates by the Trump team. That's a story we haven't gotten into an awful lot, but the shift from conservative right to moderate, almost liberal middle, that was done by Trump. Like, Trump imposed that on the party it's a really interesting story. We'll get into that with them coming up at about 8:40, something like that. Coming up next, we have the Transgressive Memorial Service. And before that, we have John Pickens with Traffic on the Fives.
Brought to you by Executive Landscaping. Call them today for all your commercial and premium landscaping needs. No accidents to let you know about on the big board. Still seeing some delays if you're heading from Pace into Pensacola via Highway 90, southbound and northbound, seeing those construction delays. Also through Pea Ridge, seeing some delays there. I'm John Pickens, and that's a look at your traffic on the five.
Oh, somebody sent an interesting note, said about Southwest, that investors are pushing the CEO to find new revenue streams, therefore the legroom seats. And obviously you can't sell legroom seats if you don't have assigned seats. So maybe that's kind of the reason for the change. So, okay, you know, that kind of makes sense.
Wade Men's Health exists for guys who get it done. Let's talk, fellas. You solve problems all day at work. You fix your sink when it's broken. But when it comes to ED and low T, it doesn't get done. We get it. You hate going to the doctor, but you're the guy that fixes things. At Wade Men's Health, there's nothing to fear and no reason to delay. We've been destroying bedroom boredom for years. Our friendly, discreet team of urologists and providers will take the time to listen. So if you haven't fixed this, call us. When the pills fail, call us. If you feel like you've tried everything, call us. Here, there's hope, from the conventional to the next level. Imagine finally taking care of this with no surgery. Imagine going from feeling gray to living life in vibrant color. It's time to be confident. Join the thousands of guys who have found success after walking through our doors. Will you be one of them? Dial 850-266-7020 or go to WaveMensHealth.com to schedule a $99 male performance consultation, including blood work. Do it for you. Do it for her. WaveMensHealth.com. Book your appointment now.
The recent global outage had many businesses scrambling to recover. I'm Nathan with Data Revolution, and this is your cybersecurity tip of the month. The single program made millions of business and government systems inoperable. As an owner, you and your IT team should have a plan in place for when trouble strikes. Businesses on the Gulf Coast trust Data Revolution for their cybersecurity and communications needs. Visit datarevs.com for more information.
Visit Pensacola is home for all things Pensacola. I'm Darren Schaefer, CEO of Visit Pensacola. Join us on the Pensacola Expert Panel this week as we discuss what is next for our community. This summer, get beach time and ways to help make sure your guests don't miss a thing. Today at 9:30, let us show you the way to beach on News Radio 92.3.
No matter how you listen, you can rely on News Radio Pensacola to keep you informed and safe when storms strike. You can listen on our mobile app.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today for the Transgressors Memorial Service, remembering those who have transgressed against the great spirit of inclusion and must forever be cast into the abyss of dead names. Let's join Brother Andrew remembering those who we have lost.
Our first remembrance is for anyone who believed that President Joe Biden should step aside from his presidential campaign. Yes, I know, this encompasses a lot of people, including many we love dearly, such as His Excellency Barack the Obama, 7th degree master of the holy pause for effect. But truth is truth, and as representative and head of the Congressional Black Caucus, Stephen Horsford recently said, when asked about Biden's mental acuity,
"What I find interesting is the issue is more around ageism and ableism and not what this president, President Biden, has done."
Now, I'm sure you all understand that using Biden's age as a criticism is obviously ageist, but even criticizing him for age-related mental degeneration is also ageist, because while you seem to be criticizing his mental acuity, you're really only attacking him for being old, a fact for which no one can be held accountable. But Horsford also mentioned ableism, and although many of you have already earned your level 2 language policing virtue badges, for the newcomers, ableism means criticizing someone on the basis of their inability to do something other people can do, like see, or walk, or form coherent sentences. We anti-ableists have all pledged to fight the ideas of competence, ability, performance, and results because such things start from believing that it's legitimate to judge people by their mental or physical abilities. In short, we're not a meritocracy. As if we believed in the backwards notion that some people being more able to do a task than others is relevant for putting them in charge of performing that task. So regressive. You see, those who pushed Grandpa Joe out of the presidential race weren't only being ableist and ageist, but they were poignantly guilty of missing a real opportunity to practice the great virtues of inclusion and representation. What better way to tell the elderly of this country that they matter too than by allowing them to finally see one of their own, a frail super senior with memory and speech challenges running the free world? Similarly, what more powerful message of inclusion can you imagine than letting the intellectually challenged and the physically unperforming look at the President of the United States and see one of their own in the position? Representation matters. So to all those who simply pushed our dear leader aside because he had become aged, feeble, confused, and garbled, shame on you. The presidency is not only for the sharp, the healthy, the fit, and the young. We don't need the best and the brightest. We just need President Biden. Woe unto all who offend.
Woe unto all who offend!
Second, we want to fully celebrate the sacred anointing of Vice President Kamala Harris as the replacement candidate for Joe Biden. Yes, even though pushing aside the president was completely wrong for all the reasons I just explained, we nevertheless cherish the silver lining of the now complete coronation of Her Highness Queen Kamala I. Now, obviously, we're very excited about the possibility of having our first female president of the United States also be a multiracial Californian with virtually no mass appeal whatsoever. But putting aside her symbolic value as an African-American woman, we especially celebrate the method of her selection. It's very important for the Democratic Party not to be confused with an organization that actually believes in the practice of democracy. Oh, no. Not at all. This is one of those clever forms of newspeak in which we say one thing and mean the exact opposite. And since we want to prepare people for the eventual top-down leadership style so characteristic of all truly progressive regimes, from Mao to Stalin to Fidel to Putin or Xi, it's helpful to show that the true Democratic presidents are selected, not elected. You see, the same Democratic anti-democratism that kept Bernie Sanders from the nomination in 2016 is alive and well today in deciding to conceal President Biden's infirmities until after the primary process was over, and then to suddenly substitute Queen Kamala I for King Joe when the time was right. Yes, allowing the smoke-free backrooms of the Democratic Party to foist her upon the masses follows perfectly in the strongest and most long-standing traditions of the leaders of our denomination. We, of course, support the move and continue to pledge our undying loyalty to the DEI-est of all DEI appointees, the checker of all boxes and representer of all demographics, the Holy One, Her Royal Highness, Kamala Harris. Woe unto all who offend.
Woe unto all who offend!
Finally, Ingrid Andress, the country singer who recently performed the national anthem at Major League Baseball's Home Run Derby in a somewhat unorthodox way.
For the land of the free, and the home of the brave.
Now, many people have criticized Miss Andress for this rendition, saying it was sloppy, off-key, disrespectful, and just plain terrible. At first, we agreed. But then we learned from Ingrid herself what happened as she posted on Instagram the next day about the incident. I'm not gonna y'all. I was drunk last night. I'm checking myself into a facility today to get the help I need. That was not me last night. I apologize to MLB, all the fans, and this country that I love so much for that rendition. I'll let y'all know how rehab is. I hear it's super fun. XO, Ingrid. And now you can surely see why we are canceling her. Oh, not because she was drunk. Who are we to tell people how to live their lives as long as they aren't using the wrong pronouns, microaggressing minorities, producing too much carbon, eating meat, or watching Fox News? If all they want to do is drink themselves silly and sing a song badly, no problem. You see, in our opinion, this was yet another undeserved metaphorical lynching motivated by sheer ableism and hostility to alcohol. If you believe in free speech, why don't you also believe in free song? Is there some reason that we can't celebrate this country through the mechanism of a terribly performed anthem of inebriation? Have you never sung a song badly because you consume too much alcohol? Don't tell me you haven't, karaoke masses. So why not let Miss Andrus simply have her moment? Off-key, oddly stylistic, and slurred though it may have been, in some ways, this was the most American version of the anthem ever sung. But instead of celebrating it and the anti-ableism and equality it represented, Ingrid tucked tail between her legs, apologized, and ran to the nearest rehab center, rather than basking in the afterglow of her superbly inclusive mediocrity. No, the problem wasn't the performance. The problem was letting the bullies and the ableists of the world drive you to rehab and make you feel bad for it, dear. So for giving in to them and letting down drunk song butchers the world over, we cast thee out. Woe unto all who offend.
Woe unto all who offend.
Before you depart today, please note that the Standing Irregular Committee on Language Purification has issued an official ruling on the phrase King of the Hill. As anticipated, they found the expression to be sexist, monarchist, inegalitarian, supremacist, violent, and hierarchical. As such, it is now on the ever-growing list of banned expressions. A corollary. Children are obviously not allowed to play the game either. Even if it could be rebranded as something more inclusive like Queen of the Hill or duly appointed First Among Equals of the Hill, the competition and shoving are directly at odds with the emasculated society of love and cooperation we're trying to build here. Refreshments this week are provided by Seven Blunders, purveyors of accidental meat and other unorthodox foodstuffs. Deeply committed to letting no food source go to waste, Seven Blunders reclaims many varieties of roadkill, dumpster nuggets, and generally anything found on the sidewalk. Pre-baked by nature's finest direct sunlight, Seven Blunders brings back the joy of excessive flavors and aromas straight to your plate. Seven Blunders, you can barely taste the virtue because of the stench.
And now, brethren, sisterin, and otherin, having been cleansed of these hurtful words, give each other the holy virtue signal and go forth and transgress no more.
8:27 here on News Radio Pensacola. I'm Andrew McKay. John Pickens has got traffic on the fives.
That's right. No accidents to let you know about right now, but we're seeing some slowdown that's happening over in East Milton. If you're going from downtown Milton to East Milton, you're going to see some delays there. Other than that, traffic's looking good. I'm John Pickens with the traffic on the five.
Thanks so much, John. Into the newsroom where David Wayne is standing by with accidental meat and headlines. David?
That's right. Inclusive mediocrity is now my battle cry. Israeli Prime Minister
Representation matters.
Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu will be meeting today with former President Donald Trump. Netanyahu's office says they scheduled the Friday meeting at Mar-a-Lago because, quote, of great importance to the state of Israel, that the prime minister meets with the two leading candidates for the presidency. French officials say there was a big attack on their country's railway system. And of course, all this just hours now before the opening of the Paris Olympics. They stopped short of calling it a terror attack, but they say it was intended to destabilize their railway system. And Southwest Airlines is apparently getting rid of its open seating system. For the first time in history, the low-fare carrier is moving to assigned seats. And of course, charging a premium for some seats on the plane.
All right, David, thanks so much for the update. 8:28 on News Radio 92.3. We've got the Olympics starting today. Well, I mean, they've been... the Olympics now start early and end late. I mean, it's not even the Olympics anymore. They don't have opening and closing ceremonies except in symbolism, right? Because you've had multiple sports are already playing games. So, okay, fine. Whatever. We're going to have the parade of athletes down the Seine. So, I think the question everybody wants to know is, what will Tonga do? Because, you know, shiny oily Tonga man has been the center of Savannah Guthrie's world for the last two Summer Olympics and Hoda Kotb, right? So, I mean, will there be satisfaction on the boat? Will the boat be open top, so to speak? Open top? Sorry. I could have worked that into a transgressor, maybe, if I just tried hard enough. Anyway, because they're doing a boat parade down the Seine is what's going to happen here. So anyway, I don't know, just having a little bit of fun here on News Radio 92.3. You stumble across things that you don't even know are going to shake your whole world. James Doohan, okay, Scotty.
Okay.
On Star Trek.
Great.
Right? James Doohan was missing the middle finger on his right hand. Did you know that?
No, I did not.
There is only one scene in all of Star Trek-dom in which they let you see his hand that's missing the finger. It's in the Trouble with Tribbles classic episode where he's holding a bunch of the Tribbles, like 15 of them.
Right.
And because of that, you can see his right hand toward the camera and the middle finger is missing, which you didn't know about. So apparently he lost it in D-Day. Because he was in D-Day in the invasion of Normandy in 1944. And in one interview, apparently, Scotty said, I actually did give Hitler the finger. Which is
literally
makes my whole day that he would say that in an interview. That's fantastic. But they kept it from us with clever camera work.
Fox News, I'm Chris Foster. Vice President Kamala Harris is thanking former President and First Lady Barack and Michelle Obama for their presidential endorsement.
Oh, my goodness. Michelle, Barack, this means so much to me. I am looking forward to doing this with the two of you.
A video of their call to her is released by the campaign. Former President Trump meets with Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu today in Florida.
We're expecting his meeting with President Trump to last a couple hours, and that's just the start of his day. He's going to head to the convention center behind me for a Turning Point Action convention, then on to Nashville for a crypto conference, then on to St. Cloud, Minnesota, where he's going to talk to swing voters there.
Fox's Madison Allworth. The former president, meantime, is blasting FBI Director Christopher Wray for suggesting that his ear may have been hit by shrapnel, not a bullet, at a rally in Pennsylvania. A federal source tells Fox the FBI wants to schedule an interview as standard practice. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 8:31 at News Radio Pensacola. I'm David Wayne. Right now we have partly cloudy skies. It's 78 degrees right now in Pensacola. The last of the residents who'd been calling Jones Swamp home have now been removed. The News Journal reports that the deadline for those remaining to move away was Wednesday. The Escambia Sheriff's Office had deputies on hand to make sure a court order was enforced that day. The property owned by the Area Housing Commission notified residents back in February they had 90 days to move out. At that point, there were about 40 people living there, but by the deadline this week, the number of people had decreased to about 12. Santa Rosa County Schools have received a new designation, a Space Florida Space Academy School District. They're one of the first districts in the state to receive that designation. The Space Academy designation works with school districts that provide certifications, including advanced manufacturing, construction, cybersecurity, and logistics. School officials say the district offers programs to get students ready to work in the space industry. Two homes in Santa Rosa County prone to devastating flooding are finally going to be dealt with. During yesterday's meeting, the Santa Rosa County Board of Commissioners approved the purchase of two homes on Avenida del Sol for $638,000. Commissioner Colton Wright says the flooding there has been an issue for over a decade, and about all the options were exhausted.
It was the only way which we could really solve the problem and move forward. So we're careful that we're not trying to set a precedent. We're not going to run around buying people's homes. But this was just a very unique circumstance, and this was the best solution.
And Wright says the properties will now be converted into an open green space. Florida Power and Light, 1 year into a pilot program to lower maintenance costs at its rural solar facilities. One location in Santa Rosa County says has found a way to cut costs. It's being taken care of mostly by a large flock of sheep. FPL running that program at the Blackwater River Solar Facility in Milton. The sheep flock, they say, is now doubled in size with about 100 sheep and lambs, keeping the grass and weeds at bay. They've also been working with the Santa Rosa County 4-H. The organization has students working with the animals in exchange for community service hours. Yesterday, students at Escambia, or residents rather, of Escambia and Santa Rosa County stepped up to help ensure that every local student has what they need to succeed as the upcoming school year gets closer. At six local Walmart locations across the two-county area, representatives were accepting donations for school supplies and financial donations as well.
These are people who are working sometimes more than one job, but just kind of living paycheck to paycheck. And, you know, any kind of added expense is going to be difficult for them. And so that's one of, you know, those are families. These are households that are struggling and are having to reach out for help.
and we're still waiting for the final results. But for reference, last year there were thousands of school supplies donated, along with about $30,000. And it is 8:34, News Radio Pensacola. Let's get a look at our traffic on the fives with John Pickens. John, what are you seeing?
No accidents to let you know about. It's brought to you by Knox Pest Control. Their family serving your family since 1929. For information on a free pest or termite quote, you can visit knoxpest.com. Knox knocks them out. I-10, I-110 flowing very smoothly right now. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Scattered showers and thunderstorms possible today with a 50% chance of rain. Otherwise, partly sunny skies with a high near 89. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 76. Keeping that rain chance around through the weekend, but plenty of opportunities to get outside. 50% chance of rain, high near 89 on Saturday. Low Saturday night near 78. For Sunday, 50% chance of rain with a high near 91 and a low near 76. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Morning Weather Center.
Thank you, Brooke. 79 in Pensacola, 78 in Gulf Breeze, 77 in Milton. And your money now this morning. The Dow up about 444 points today at 40,379. The S&P up 40 points at 54.39. The NASDAQ up 129 points at 17,310. 10-year bond rate down slightly at 4.2%. Gold prices up 24.80 at 23.78. Silver prices down 2 cents at 27.95. Bitcoin is up $2,600 this morning at $67,381. Boeing is finalizing their plea agreement with the Justice Department, which involves the plane manufacturer pleading guilty to conspiracy charges and paying almost $250 million in penalties. This comes after the DOJ concluded a years-long investigation into Boeing crashes in 2018 and 2019. Federal investigation said software errors caused the crashes. Those caused close to 350 deaths. A viral TikTok challenge forcing Chipotle to address complaints about their small portion sizes.
The Chipotle camera trick challenge started trending after a Chipotle customer posted a video of an employee who added more food to his bowl because he was being filmed. The video got over 2 million views and has inspired similar videos to get bigger portions. Now the head of Chipotle says they're training and coaching their employees to make sure they're consistently making bowls and burritos correctly. CEO Brian Nichol said Thursday there was never a directive to provide less to customers. I'm Tammy Trujillo.
Thank you, Tammy. It's 8:37, our next news at 9, and breaking news anytime. I'm David Wayne for News Radio Pensacola.
Pensacola Morning News with Andrew McKay.
Joining me here in studio today, we have Chief Deputy Tommy Leiter for the Escambia County Sheriff's Office, former PPD Chief. Chief, welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News, sir.
Hey, thanks for having me.
It's kind of been quiet this week.
And it's not necessarily newsworthy. We made some great narcotics arrests, traffic stop narcotics arrests, but that's just a small fraction of what we're going on. There's 721 employees, 430.
Pensacola Morning News with Andrew McKay. Mornings 5 till 9. News Radio Pensacola.
Informative, local, dependable.
To the hip, the hip, how you don't stop. Rap.
I will definitely call you back later then.
Come on, wrap it up.
Big circle.
Okay, you know what? Wrap up the circle thing. Come on.
Mr. Parker, wrap it up, please.
Okay,
everybody, that's a wrap.
All right, it's time to recap the events of the week and the news of the week with a couple of friends here in studio with me, a former city councilwoman and mayoral candidate and Democrat elector to the Democrat convention in Chicago, where I'll be joining her, and I'm sure we'll be talking a bunch about what's going on there. Jewel Canada Wynn, welcome back, Jewel.
Hi, Pensacola. Welcome. Thank you.
Good to have you. Jeremy Evans, of course, former chair.
Heavily involved in the Republican Party.
Okay. Hey, pull that just a little bit more in your direction.
Yep,
there we
go.
Perfect. Well, I mean, obviously, plenty of news this week. Perfectly related to both of you in terms of this stuff. Let's start with Biden dropping out. Jewel, you're a Democrat. What did you think of? Do you feel like he dropped out voluntarily, or he was forced out? And what are your thoughts?
I think it was both. When you as a running for office and in a position where the people you trust the most to have your back decide they don't want to support you anymore. That is a really self-analysis of who you are. It really it really brings you back to reality, because you're not just president alone. You're not just the leader or the mayor or anybody alone. You are there because you have these others that support you and want to make sure that this country goes in the right direction. And when those people start telling you that they do not want you, it makes you reflect on who you are as the person and who you are as that particular leader of the party or even of the country. It just does. And so it takes you back to that.
To me, the level of self-belief, mm-hmm. even arrogance, mm-hmm. that you have to be a presidential candidate, a senator, a president, you know, there's no part of your DNA that gets up in the morning and thinks, should I really be doing this? You know, because you can't even afford to have that. Uh-huh. And so I actually get the reluctance to even consider the possibility. I also kind of couple it with age a little bit, that as we get older, there's all of these things that, you know rationally affect older people, but you never believe it's true for you. You never believe it's time to give up your driver's license or your car, that kind of stuff.
I just think that the age issue should be shared equally among mm-hmm. both candidates.
Oh, yeah. No, it's definitely become a vulnerability for Trump. All of a sudden, he's the guy that's pretty
of
old.
The age.
Yeah,
of
78.
The age difference. I question the process in a sense, not if any Newsom or any of the other Democrats who had been over the last 4 years said, I think I should run. Mm-hmm. I think I should run. I should do the primary system.
Mm-hmm.
So why not do the primary system? That's what the primary system is for. Because, I had my T-shirt already getting ready to be done. It was Uncle Joe and Auntie Camilla. That's what was on the back of my T-shirt. And so during the primary.
Order change quickly. Oh,
yes, it was. Stop the presses now, I put Auntie Camilla on there.
You're right.
On there. But I just feel that when we look at how we select mm-hmm. our president, regardless of parties, I think that we just need to really look at that.
Yeah.
And say, okay, should we step back and really think about it? Was President Biden actually just a transitional type president? Was he just going to be a one-term president? And if so, how do we transition? Because, there are some pros and cons to being that.
Yeah.
And definitely if you have an agenda and you want to get done, you don't want to be a lame duck president where, okay, I'm not coming back or any type of thing.
Which he is now for the next 6 months at least. And I want to come back to this because the issue of there's two issues here to me. There's the one of forcing out of Biden. Mm-hmm. And the other one is then, what do you do to pick your next candidate? And that has been dramatic to me. Jeremy, let's start with just the Biden part of it. What was your take on this?
So I think there will be novels written about the last 14 days of American politics. Go back to 13 days ago, Trump is...
It's so hard to realize it was that fast. But even before that, to the debate, right?
Yeah, to the debate. But if you specifically go kind of to Trump gets shot at.
Right.
Gets hit. Right. Bullet or shot. I don't know why it matters.
But, I don't know why it matters either.
But he gets shot. People die. It is a traumatic event that happens. And then you immediately go into how do we move forward. Trump had not announced a vice president mm-hmm. yet at that point. So you have this, what would have happened at the Republican convention had Trump been assassinated?
Right.
It would have been, I don't know what it would have been.
Right. Same.
And so you have that happened. I think that there's this monumental event. And if you are a Democrat, anytime, doesn't matter who you are, there is a rally around moment when an event where somebody is a victim of violence.
Right.
And so you have that happen, which I think raises an electability question. The Republican convention, kind of from what I saw, what it looks like looking at post, it looks like it was kind of a non-event for non-base voters. Like there wasn't a big jump in the polls. He just kind of, it was. Mm-hmm. And I think the Democrats came to a moment where it is, we either need to do it or we need to not do it. Do we trust him to make it? And then he had his, the press conference that he had,
the NATO one.
Where I will be the first one to say at times, if you were to put a camera on me 365 days a year, 24/7, and the number
you're
of times
stumble and bumble
there's
and,
the
yeah.
number of times that I couldn't tell you my daughter's name, or I would be sitting here right. and would call you, you know, whatever, Brent Lane, is going to happen. And some of that stuff is very unfair to him.
Sure.
But once you open that door, you open that door. And now we have Kamala Harris, who has Kamala Harris. I once in my life, I will present, pronounce her name the right
Which is the right time. One? I say Kamala.
It's Kamala.
That's the right one.
Okay. And I will get myself to pronouncing it and putting the proper respect on her name the first time, I promise. She is now maybe the best person. And I think that for those saying it's an undemocratic process, I disagree to an extent, because you and a bunch of your friends are going to gather in Chicago, and you have the ability, if Newsom or if anybody else wanted to raise a campaign, they can do it. There are no pledged delegates to anybody. Mm-hmm. So you could see somebody from the floor try to make a move for something. It is a very democratic process still. Everybody just seems to be falling in line. I don't think it's realistic to say, well, Newsom,
I would say it's democratic in name only. Yeah, it's dino right
yeah,
now.
And
I mean,
would say,
and it doesn't feel or look much like a democratic process, which is the problem.
I would say it's very unfair to say to Newsom or Whitmer or any of these folks, hey, if you wanted it, you should have run against the incumbent.
Right, which
that's
is
not fair.
The facts
and then,
have fundamentally changed.
You know, I mean, my side
Can you hang on for just a second? Uh-huh. I want to get traffic on the fives real quick here, John.
No accidents to report to you right now. Traffic's flowing smoothly. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks, John. Go ahead.
I do not think that it's unfair. I think that it just was not the debate that these rumblings were going on. I just don't think that the debate really was. I think it was the nail on the head of something that had been going on.
It was
on.
The undeniable.
Yes.
It was the incontrovertible.
Right. I don't think it's unfair.
I think that
as a Democrat, I can call you out.
Right.
If I think that it was not done well to me. I worked and walked and supported, so I can call you out if I don't think that was done well. The process that we have, 140 days before a November election or something like that. So to ask, I mean, people have come with all sorts of things. We should have some type of U.S. primary and all of those types of things. And you can do it virtually. Well, if you do it virtually, you're going to probably eliminate, you know, at least 25% of our elders that don't do stuff virtually.
And so those that don't have good internet access,
and,
right?
And don't have good internet access all over this country. So what is fair? And I think the fairest way to do it in such a short time is this particular way.
I do have a question, though, for you as a delegate specifically, because it seemed like on Sunday, you know, anything could happen. And by Monday, no, we're done. We figured this out. Mm-hmm. And it was kind of portrayed as though all of the voting delegates all had a mass epiphany and the zeitgeist of the Democratic Party came together. And I have to believe that there was a lot of phone calls and a lot of arm twisting and a lot of we're going to present the unified front. But you tell me, you're an elector. How did it work for you?
Well, for me, it was no arm twisting after I got over it and said, okay, he's gone. I was digging in and I was gone because I was going to work. I would have voted for him if he came across the stage in a wheelchair, okay? So I would still have voted. But once we did that, you know, I'm a research person. I go and look. I took stock of what the other Democratic leaders had mentioned and had said, where we are right now before the election, and my overall goal. And so my overall goal was to make sure that we had a viable candidate, and that candidate is Kamala.
Okay,
and
so you voluntarily came to the conclusion.
Right, and then, of course, we talked. I mean, you know, we talked, well, what do we do? I mean, it was not like you get on the telephone and say, okay, this is where I'm going.
It was a discussion before, like a caucus almost.
Did, you know, people actually, where do we go from here?
Yeah.
Where that question is, where do we go from here? And what sources or what choices do we have? However, you get on the telephone, yes, you get on the telephone and see, what do you think about it? And I know that my thoughts, and I can't speak for the other delegates, I know that my thoughts was, yes, I'm going to support Kamala.
Okay.
I am going to support her. And of course, if someone else had stepped in. So this is not like,
there was not another person really coming forward
was
either,
not
right, Jeremy?
That
was
kind of like, and of course you have the pressure of others to kind of stay out. So this is politics.
I don't think that the pressure was downwards to the folks who are going to be making the. I think the pressure was to Gavin Newsom. I think the pressure
to stay
was
out.
To stay out. And mm-hmm. so the other part about this 14 days.
And I mean, I really thought Sunday that it was going to be Joe Manchin.
Yeah. So
I thought Joe Manchin was going to be the person.
So I think the other thing that when we look back over these past 14 days, that we will write about
lots
is
of books.
The speech. Yeah. And I don't know if we call it the speech, the impromptu press conference that Josh Shapiro gave about what had happened, and he talked about the firefighter who passed away, and he talked lovingly about this guy loving Donald Trump and doing all of those things. I think that 5 minutes took him from being a governor of Pennsylvania to the leading candidate to be Vice President Harris, vice presidential nominee for the party, in what will, like, as close as we're ever going to get to a Cross of Gold speech, that he went from being a person
nobody knew anything about
right. to being the, what, if you trust anything that you see in the world, he's going to be the presumptive Democrat
nominee. He
hit the
right tone for sure.
The other thing that I think that we are in the middle of right now is Vice President Harris is in a nice honeymoon stage. She this stage where everybody is... I think that if you looked before...
Except among conservatives on social media, where it is all-out war.
Yeah.
I mean, no holds barred. They're going after our guy. We're going after their girl. That's all it is.
There are two significant questions that she is going to have to come up with really strong answers to. One of them is very challenging for her. I think even when I talk to a lot of my friends who are either centrist or on the left, I think many people agree... As a vice president, she has not been highly visible over the past 4 years.
Yep.
And the likely answer to that is she was doing as she was asked. President Biden asked her to not be super visible, and she wasn't. Mm-hmm. So how do you have that conversation with the American people to defend yourself without throwing a man who has stepped aside to allow you to do this under the bus?
Yeah.
That is a challenging conversation she's going to have. The second one is... There are not many Americans across the political spectrum who think that what's going on the southern border is peaches and cream.
Is healthy, right?
They may not think the Donald Trump plan is right, but there are issues
They may hate the plan, right.
But there are issues to solve there. And the one thing that the vice president was kind of officially in charge of was being the border czar or whatever you want to call it. And so she's going to have to come up with really strong answer to America about... I wasn't really visible. The one thing that I was working on was this one thing, and this is how it was better than it was 4 years ago when I came into it, because the one issue that Donald Trump likes to throw rights and lefts on is the border.
Issue. Right, exactly, yeah. Right. It's probably,
it is the border. And again, I don't want to minimize her role as vice president. The vice president's role, of course, is to be visible, but the vice president's role is not to overshadow the president in any form.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so there were times from my research that she disagreed with the president. She wanted more progressive action, but we cannot, her role was to be the vice president. Her role was not to politic for president. And I think she did that role very well. She will have to answer how to deal with, you know, the border. That is a huge issue for her, and she's going to have to be able to deal with it. But the Trump plan is not a good plan for the border. Dealing with the border issue is just not alone a presidential issue. You cannot get rid of this and solve this just by executive order. Our Congress, our senators, and our representatives must come together on a plan to deal with the border. You will not be able to just say, President, will you solve this crisis? That's just not going to happen. And our senators and representatives must get on board with that.
And so, like so many other issues, it's become a thing that you have. Some people don't want it to be solved because they love having the issue, frankly, if they're ruthless about it. Other times when in the past, say, a bipartisan group of senators have come together to try to form something, they just get flayed by both sides, and it's almost death for them politically. The one thing I'm curious about, and I just don't want to run out of time on this, is I had brought up on Monday, I think, that among the other concerns for Kamala Harris is, to what degree did she know, and to what degree was she sort of complicit in keeping it from people that President Biden was really not up to the, at least campaigned for another 4 years, maybe even continuing the job, because she's the closest, she's there, she's seeing him all the time. And of course, her role is not to upstage the president, but her role is also under the 25th Amendment to be paying attention. Mm-hmm. And people have raised that question, you know, and to what degree does she hold responsibility for that? I'll get your answer in just a second. We got John's got traffic on the fives. John?
No accidents to report right now. We're seeing traffic flowing smoothly on I-10, I-110. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, John.
I think that it is a situation where I think that there's going to be some, like, I don't know what the right word is, but there's going to be some, like, bright line moments for the Democratic Party. Like, how much blame do you put at President Biden's feet and his severe inner circle and say, you know, do they hold the line that President Biden is fine, but he may not have been fine 3 years from now? Like, age is a battle you can't win.
It's and a problem, so, but not yet the way you think.
Yeah.
Right.
And, or is it, it was a problem. It was something that President Biden and his Jill Biden and three or four tight knit people knew about and could see, but not everybody else could see. Or do they just let it go? And, you know, Harris has to kind of find out an answer on her own. But how I feel like that's the area where the President Biden's team can give her some cover.
Like, if they came out, it would be like saying, we knew and we kept it from you. It's not her fault that it was.
Yeah,
this is a that's a hard thing to say.
Any cover they give her damages his legacy.
That's right.
And I think it's that dangerous.
Jewel, what do you,
do
you view that?
I really, you know, his doctors kept saying, you know, saying that he doesn't have Parkinson's. Well, he's 82 years old and those age related things are going to go. But I don't hear anyone's talking about former Vice President, for former President Trump. The man can't even read a teleprompter. He's like, we wired to say everything over and over again. And so now we don't see it. America doesn't see any issues with that. It's like, okay, we're just not going to talk about it right now. It was just a conspiracy on the president. Of course, he's the president of the United States. And so, therefore, he has to be healthy. He has to be sane. He has to have
the difference between like Biden as VP and Biden now, and the difference between Trump as president and Trump is now, there hasn't been that dramatic shift for Trump.
Well,
he's kind of been, it's like kind of baked in that he's this
way.
And people ignore it and want to accept. It has become normal. It has become normalized.
Who is it? Like, who are we talking about that says they have not tried to expose Donald Trump? Because I feel like over the past 10 years,
every possible flaw has
tried to be exposed. You know, people are, whether or not you agree with or not, he's been convicted of a felony for paying off a person he had an affair with. And that's not, like, that's been talked about endlessly, and people are still choosing to follow Donald Trump like he's a Pied Piper.
Right.
And so I don't,
which, by the way, is as baffling to people like me as it is to people like Jewel. It's kind of, I mean, I see the same concerns, you know?
Regardless of whether or not you're a Republican or whether or not you're a Democrat, there are certain expectations. There are certain things that you expect. Mm-hmm. So going into presidential elections, it's like, okay, my candidate didn't win. America is going to be okay. The Republican president win. I'm going to have to say President Trump, or I'm going to have to say President Bush. But it's okay. You know, it's okay. We're going to move forward, and America is going to be okay. So as just a citizen, that is not how I feel. That I have this uncertainty about my future country, democracy as a whole, our economics. So it's just like it has placed America and the citizens of America to really rethink how we feel about a democratic society. It has questioned that.
I think there's definitely that sense on the Democrat side. I think there's a sense of that on the Republican side as well.
So that is,
but yeah, that's no, I agree that, and that is a very problematic place for us to be as a country, where we can't look at the other side winning and be like, oh, okay, I could live with that too. Okay, you know,
I can live with that.
Hey, Jewel, we're completely out of time. Okay. I look forward to connecting with you in Chicago. Jewel, okay. Canada Wind, Jeremy Evans, thank you for coming in today.
Dependable traffic on the fives, weekdays on...